Last night, a Justice Department white paper titled Lawfulness of a Lethal Operation Directed Against a U.S. Citizen Who is a Senior Operational Leader of Al-Qaeda or an Associated Force was leaked to NBC. The 16-page document is a summary of a 50-page opinion written by the Obama administration's Office of Legal Counsel on the legal basis used to justify the targeted killing of Anwar al-Awlaki, a U.S.-born Muslim cleric alleged to be behind the so-called underwear bomber's failed attempt to set off a bomb on an airliner. The full OLC document remains classified, and the administration has argued in court that it can neither confirm nor deny that the still-classified targeted killing program even exists. This despite repeated public statements by government officials, including President Obama himself, about that program. Today, the Center for Constitutional Rights filed a brief along with the American Civil Liberties Union arguing against current and former administration officials' attempts to keep a case challenging the targeted killing of three American citizens out of court. Pardis Cabriai, senior attorney at CCR, says the white paper reveals several things about the targeted killing program.
One is that the administration believes that it has the authority to target and kill people, including U.S. citizens, wherever they may be found. So not just in recognized battlefields, you know, in war situations, but outside of those contexts, in countries where the United States is not engaged in war. That much is clear. What also is clear, just as a broad point, is that these justifications are being cooked up entirely internally within the executive branch on the basis of legal memos and analyses that are not being reviewed at all, and that idea is extremely dangerous. It's no different than the harm that happened under the Bush administration, except then we were talking about detention and now we're talking about killing.
The administration claims that this is within the laws of war. How can they read the laws of war to say that they can do this?
Well, they're justifying it by declaring it. The laws of war provide objective standards, objective criteria when you can call a situation of violence, a situation of armed conflict. It's a high bar, and there's a reason for that, because the laws of war are a different set of rules than normal peacetime laws. They allow for things like killing and detention in ways that are broader than the usual laws permit. So there's a high bar for it. There are criteria that the international community have developed and agreed on. It's not based on a unilateral political declaration by a government, but that's what the United States is doing here. They're claiming, as the Bush administration did, the Obama administration has continued this premise of an armed conflict with Al-Qaeda, and not just Al-Qaeda, but these undefined so-called associated forces of Al-Qaeda, that it believes it can target people who are members of these groups wherever they may be. There's a problem with the global war paradigm in general against Al-Qaeda, but the groups that it's targeting in places like Yemen and Somalia are not even Al-Qaeda. They're so-called associated groups of Al-Qaeda. But what it means to be associated legally and the factual basis for these associations, the administration hasn't explained at all.
A lot of this seems to hinge on the Obama administration's distinction between nations and a non-international entity like Al-Qaeda. What kind of distinction is there, or is this outlined in international law in any way that makes sense?
It's right that the U.S. is borrowing rules from traditional war between two states and applying them to a situation here where you have a state, the United States, and a terrorist group. So, yes, it's true that what it's doing is borrowing rules from that very traditional framework and paradigm and applying them here. One of the ways it's doing that, for example, is in how it appears to be defining who it can target. So in situations of war between states, you can target soldiers, people who are members of the armed forces of either side, people who wear uniforms and are soldiers. That kind of status basis for targeting people does not exist in a situation where you've got a state and a group on the other end, and that group being comprised of civilians who may be fighting by day but are not fighting, or farmers, for example, by night. So that civilians in the context we have here, even accepting that it's armed conflict, which we don't, but even if you accept that premise, they're all civilians, and the standard under the laws of war for targeting civilians is you can only use lethal force for so long as those civilians are actually participating in the fighting. So there's a far broader standard that the administration appears to be applying here. They're calling everyone that they're targeting combatants or people who are part of these groups, but that's just much wider than what the laws actually allow for.
There have been 3 U.S. citizens that we know of who've been killed under this program. Anwar al-Awlaki, there's little debate that he was associated with an associated group of al-Qaeda. Samir Khan, I suppose by inference he was killed at the same time as Anwar al-Awlaki. But how about Anwar al-Awlaki's 16-year-old son? Where is the accountability when someone is targeted and killed and there is no even hint of a threat?
Right. The memo that came out yesterday explains the analysis for the killing of someone like who the administration alleges Anwar al-Awlaki was, you know, someone that they say is a leader of an organization. And I think it's actually still important, even with respect to him, to be clear that what the government has said are allegations. They're not things that have ever been tested in a court. But with respect to someone like Abdulrahman, his 16-year-old son, who was killed in October of 2011, that kind of analysis has nothing to say about the killing of that 16-year-old boy or the killings of actually the majority of people who are affected by these strikes. The memo actually just talks about very specific, narrow circumstances where the U.S. thinks it can kill a U.S. citizen who's a leader of a group who it believes presents an imminent threat. But the majority of people being killed in this program, and the numbers are now in the thousands, they're anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 to 4,000 people or more who've been killed, and the majority of those people are not described by this analysis at all. But with respect to Abdulrahman al-Awlaki, the 16-year-old, part of what we're trying to do with a lawsuit that we filed, which actually today we're responding to the government's arguments that that case should not be heard at all, we're filing a brief in court in Washington, D.C., in district court, has to do with trying to force the government to account for its actions in that killing of that teenage boy who they've had nothing to say about.
Pardis Cabriai is an attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights.